and towards the greatest Persian army that the world had ever seen. The Persians had grown stronger during the 10-year peace. They had expanded eastward into the lands of India, and they had conquered kingdom after kingdom. They had enlarged their army with strong warriors and enriched themselves with the trade of the Eastern Road. The Persian horde was not hiding from Roman gaze, but rather displayed themselves openly to the fortress town. They paraded on flat fields and along the fronts of hills. Ammianus saw thousands upon thousands of spearmen and bow infantry. There were countless regiments of light and heavy cavalry. No expense had been spared on equipment. Acres of gleaming steel armour, long steel blades, and broad laminated shields were evidence of the vast wealth the Sasanian emperor could command. There was even a squadron of war elephants. 100 of the massive beasts waited along the crest of the southern ridge. Ammianus had not wanted to be cornered in this besieged town. He had been sent only to investigate rumours of Persians on the move. He had ridden with a dozen men to the Tigris River. Persian cavalry had ambushed them, and only Ammianus had escaped. He had fled to Amida and there been trapped.
"Tribune?" Aelianus prompted.
The governor's question still hung in the still air. Would Roman Emperor Constantius bring an army to Amida's rescue? Ammianus was the only man in the province who could claim to know the emperor's mind. He touched the jewelled sword at his waist, a gift from the emperor himself.
"What would you do if the emperor does not come?" Ammianus questioned.
"This garrison is too small to withstand attack by an army of that size. I must think of the lives of my people. I would have to surrender the city," Governor Aelianus said.
"The emperor will come, Governor," Ammianus promised, not knowing if it was true.
"Constantius will come with 40 legions, and he will annihilate the Persians against these walls. It will be the greatest victory of the age. You will greet the emperor at the gates of Amida, and you will be praised for your fortitude. Your garrison will join the emperor's legions, and together they will throw the Persians back into the river Tigris."
The governor gazed at Ammianus. Ammianus met his eyes, but neither spoke. The chill wind rustled the eagle banners of Rome. Ammianus's writings carried the imperial seal. He spoke with the emperor's voice and acted as the emperor's ear. There were few men in the Roman Empire as powerful or as dangerous as Tribune Ammianus Marcellinus.
"Then we will fight," Governor Aelianus decided, turning away. "Ballistae, prepare to shoot. Archers, ready your bows."
The torsion springs of 6 massive ballistae mounted in protective brick turrets on the high wall were cranked by their crews. 200 Roman archers strung their bows. A small group of Persians rode toward the wall, following the southern road. They bore no weapons. From their rich clothes, they looked to be emissaries of the Persian emperor.
"They are sending men to parley," Governor Aelianus said. "But we will not waste their time. Kill them when they come within range."
Not a single arrow had been shot or spear been thrown, but the 10-year Persian truce was over. Chapter 2. Crumbates had never been so proud of his son. The boy was only 13, but already he was mature beyond his years. He had recited his poem of Horvatat, wholeness, embodying Huckster, good words, and bowed low in flawless humility before the Persian emperor Shapur II. Crumbates felt the light of Ahura Mazda fill him as he watched his son and smiled as the happy tears came to his eyes. Crumbates was the king of the Chionate. 2 years ago, he had bowed to no